So I'm here with Dave and Derek from Big D and the Kids Table. Awesome. So how's this Warped Tour been compared to previous years?
Let's see. There's more people working out in the bus parking lot. It's been said that the Warped Tour bus parking lot is starting to look like a prison. It's like P90X insanity out there. So that's a little different.
And we just have a fire pit that we hang around.
Yeah, we just drink around a fire pit. Go on, come on. One more, guys. One more. That's why we don't have muscles.
But you're happier, right?
Yeah, we are. And intoxicated.
All right, so I want to get this out of the way. Dave, you had a little bit of a health scare a while ago. How you doing?
That's my little scar. Okay. I'm doing quite well. I had my yearly checkup to see if there was any evils in there, and there were none. And I hugged my adorable doctor, and she was like, oh, Jesus, don't do that. She's this very teeny little woman. And, all's well. As far as cancer goes, I said I have, like, drive-through cancer, which is, you know, they just went in there, took it out, and left. So for me, it was, you know, the surgery itself was as much as, like, an appendix. It was just more of a mental game, but all's well.
Keep it up.
Yeah, I know. I will keep up. I hope to.
All right, so the new album, Stomp and Stroll, was that Kickstarter or Indiegogo? It was crowdfunded.
Yeah,
Kickstarter. Basically, we decided to put it out ourselves, and it was two records, which cost twice as much as one record, and we didn't even have enough for one record.
Yes, audacious.
Yeah. So we went with Kickstarter, and our fans are really awesome, and they gave us twice as much as we thought we were going to get.
It was really funny. Like, once the Kickstarter started, we were just following it, and when we made our goal, we were ready to clock out, but like you said, it was double what we thought, and they basically saved our lives, and our listeners allowed us to make songs and record songs where we would only dream, like a 17-year-old kid going, what if I could go to a studio? What if I could do this? We were in a situation where we were doing the same exact wondering, and they made it happen.
Yeah. Talking about me in the blasting room.
Yeah. Because when we first started, we were like, we could record Derek's drums at my buddy's house, and then when the money started collecting, we were like, let's go to his dream studio. So that's huge.
What was the blasting room like?
It was incredible. It was incredible. Jason Livermore, the engineer, is amazing. Bill Stevenson was around just making jokes and being funny and, like, picking out symbols for Black Flag practice. Yeah. Or flag practice, I guess they have to call flag. Sorry.
That was the best day when he was like, when are you guys leaving today? Because we got flag practice later. And we were like, whoa.
Look, we're not leaving ever.
But they are the most efficient, amazing, you know, just great group of guys doing great stuff there. I mean, it's amazing. You're just floored.
We wish we could have did the whole record there, but we did drums, and we got drums done early because they're super efficient. And it was awesome. And then we did guitars for most of the rhythm tracks there, too.
Yeah. So what's the label situation like? What are you guys on? Or just doing it yourselves? You have your own?
Just our Strictly Rude records, where the Kickstarter 7-inch is the first release, limited, and the two new CDs are the next two releases. That's how we started everything. So it's kind of nice to be back.
Any plans to put anyone else's work out on that, or just for yourselves?
Yeah, maybe. We just have to do one of those things where we, like, tie them up and say, don't break up. Because every band puts out a record and breaks up. So we would have to have, like, a blood contract with them. Yeah. Like, if you break up, we kill you. Because that way the records will sell better.
Yeah, that's true. So... That's a good idea.
Yeah. The real Death Row Records.
All right. So you guys have always, well, I should say, mostly blended the styles of, you know, punk, stroll, whatever, on the other albums. And with Stomp and Stroll, you've explicitly split that up a bit more so. So where'd that idea come from?
Just backlash, I guess. You know, like Derek was just saying a little while ago, you know, we had just done so many punk ska records in a row. What people need to understand about us is after Good Luck, no one liked How It Goes. But then everyone loved How It Goes, and then we did Strictly Rude, and nobody liked Strictly Rude, everyone liked How It Goes, and then everyone liked Shoot. So it's just this ongoing thing. But when we put out Fluent and Stroll, it was like we finally set off the A-bomb. And so everyone was very upset that we didn't write Strictly Rude 2, but it wasn't in us. You know what I mean? It's like you're not going to write a record that's not in you. So we decided to have some fun, and then a year and a half later, like the BC Boys Paul's Boutique, on a much smaller level, all the fans loved Fluent and Stroll. But it was too late. We already put out Damn the Dumb Delirious, which is a very ska punk record. And as you can tell by the title, Damn, Dumb, and the Delirious, we were a little cheeky about it. But so then when we did that, everyone was upset. So this time we just were like, look, there's the ska record. You go over there. There's the stroll record. You go over there. And everybody smile. Yeah.
You pretty much pick what you get, so.
Yeah, yeah.
Or just get them both right now, in stores now.
Exactly.
Cool, cool. So, let's see. It's common with ska bands, there have been a lot of member turnover. So what do you think new members have brought to the table?
Oh, Alex? Oof.
Oh, yeah, Alex is a phenomenal songwriter and a new guitar player. Yeah, he shreds, too. Yeah. He's great.
We definitely reached where we wanted to go with a lot of his help and just talent. He just is very, very tasteful, talented guitar player. So that was awesome. And it was great to just play with someone that is as excited as you. You know, there's sometimes when bands are like, shh, oh, yeah, we can swear. Shit, we have practice. Oh, you see that? Look at that. They put the brakes on a swear. Or, you know, there's people that just want to practice. You want to practice more? Yeah. You know what I mean? So he was great. And the energy was good.
Seeing the webisodes that you had posted online, everyone looked really tight, really locked in. And,
oh, you watched those?
Yeah, of course. I'll take what you give me. I'll do whatever research you give me. All right.
You put something up yesterday, did I see it?
Can't say I have.
Flip the table.
Yeah.
All right, so Dave, you've done some writing outside of music. Anything published down the line?
Well, the Justin Bieber songs were just kind of a... basically it was almost like how Big D started doing CDs. When we first realized that you could call a manufacturing plant yourself, you didn't have to do a record label, it was illuminating. We were like, oh my goodness. So just sitting in the van reading, because, you know, you're just in a van for 8 to 12 hours every day, I had that moment of, oh, I can put out my own book. So I just kind of started reading for about 3 or 4 years on how to write, and because I didn't want to write a word until I kind of read about how to do it, because what's the point? So then I kind of learned a bit the craft of it all, or the goals of it all, and then I just got started, and it's really helped my downtime on the road. Yeah.
Now, you have stuff published already, though, right?
Self-published.
Yeah, yeah. But where can people get those?
Thanks. You can get them at davidmcquain.com or Interpunk. Yeah. And I got two new ones coming out. I said we. It's like I'm so used to saying records. I got two ones coming out around Christmas, possibly, so check it out.
We will do. So what else is in the horizon for the rest of the year?
Well, we're touring in the fall. We're going to do a headline tour. We'll get to play more new songs because we can only fit, like, one on stage mostly because our set time is so short. And then hopefully overseas in 2014 is kind of the goal, yeah.
And then we have our Halloween show around Halloween. And then the fest.
Yep, the fest in Florida. It's going to be awesome. First time playing it. A lot of great bands on the fest, as always.
And hopefully our DVD will be out this Halloween, which is footage from 1996 till now. I mean, we've been filming since day one, like the first show, which we're really lucky about. I mean, we went from Super 8 cameras to camcorders to, you know, flip videos to cell phones. I mean, we've used every medium to record, to make this thing, and it's pretty awesome. And the footage in the 90s is very embarrassing, so people should appreciate that we were nice enough to embarrass ourselves.
Well, a lot of concert stuff and some interviews or behind-the-scenes stuff, or what?
Everything. Every video, a documentary pretty much on every record. The first tours where we look like puppies, you know what I mean? I don't know how we were.
T-shirts.
Oh, my God. Because it was the 90s, every short-sleeve shirt was, like, over your elbow. And everything is about beer. I guess that's still kind of. But
things don't change.
Yeah. And then a lot of live shows, from basement shows to opening up for the Dropkick Murphys with an endless sea of people. So it's literally almost every single thing.
Three discs.
Yeah.
Pretty awesome.
I was going to make a joke about a 10-hour DVD, but it might actually be.
It is. Some people have said, is this too much? I'm like, shut up.
You people bang for their buck.
Yeah.
That's cool. Awesome. Well, you guys already did an interview a long time ago. Actually, I don't know. We didn't talk to you before, so stuck on a desert island, one album, rest of your life.
Oh, jeez. That's like the toughest question in the world. I'm just going to, just top of my head, The Exit, Home for an Island. They're a band from... Yeah, do you know? Yeah, you remember that band.
Yeah.
But that record, they're a three-piece, kind of like The Police, but like a little more rock. I love that record. The drumming's phenomenal. I can listen to that guy's drumming forever.
I got to revisit that record.
Yeah, that's great.
Have to visit it.
Yeah. They did two versions, so the 2005 version.
Remastered sounds better?
They re-recorded it.
Okay.
With like one or two different songs.
All right, cool.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for your time, guys, and good luck with everything.
Cool. Yeah, thanks a lot.
Take care.
Yeah. You too. Yeah.
And then I found a hair on the